Amen. Well, you might as well buckle up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn over to Mark, please. Mark 10. How many of y'all is ready for the Christmas party? Woo! Me too. Are we doing a gift? Jordy, we are. If you want to be a part of it, you need to bring a gift. So, I guess somebody has to go get a gift after we get out of church. Mark 10. There's going to be a lot of food. A lot of food. Last year, there was a lot left over. So, eat about 14 plates if you want. They do a good job with it. And you know the best part about all this? We don't have to stay and clean. And we don't have to cook either. Hallelujah. Y'all know how excited I am about that. That takes, man, that's, I love that. Hallelujah. All right, moving on now. Amen. Mark 10. Wow. Mark 10. We'll start about verse 46. I'll pray and we'll get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and we do magnify your holy name. And I thank you, Father God, for the pastoral office that I walk in. I thank you, Father God, I pull on that office with the hand of faith right now. And I thank you, Father God, for light, illumination, and revelation from the word, not only for this congregation, but also for myself, Father God. And I thank you. We don't just come to the word with an attitude of, how many times have I read this scripture? But we come open, ready to receive, Father God, from the word this morning. And I thank you for it. I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in advance, Father God, because that's where the answer lies. It's giving you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in advance before we see it, before we see it. So we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. And we thank you for it, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said,
amen.
Amen. I know y'all probably heard some of the fundamentals of faith or some of the steps of faith, like with the woman with the issue of blood. One of them was like I actually wrote them down. Where did I write them? They're in my office. Give me, let's take a minute break. Nobody panic. I found them. We're good. All right. So she said it, she did it, she received it, and she told it. Big key part there was she told it. I actually heard this testimony about this woman that was having some heart problems. Ended up going to the doctor, and the doctor, I forget what was going on with it, but she started believing God for her healing, and so she was healed. And then she started having some just real alarming symptoms in her heart. And she heard somebody talking about, you know what, if you've been healed, you need to let people know. You need to tell people about it. You need to tell your testimony. And she said, you know what? So she went back to this hospital and started talking to everybody that had heart problems like she had and started telling them, you know, I was healed of this heart problem that I had like y'all are having. Although she had all the symptoms that they were trying to come back. But she still went in there and started giving her testimony. And she said before she was done, she was healed not to have another problem. Interesting. A testimony. A testimony. Letting everybody know what God did for you. Right? But I said that to we're not talking about that this morning. Amen. Believing God, well, studying this morning, we got over here to Mark 10. And so we're going to go. I wrote down a few steps with this one that the Holy Ghost really just gave me this morning. Amen. So Mark 10, number one, I put down, he heard, right? It doesn't say that he heard, but how else would he know about Jesus? Does anybody agree with that?
Yes.
Amen, I agree. Because how would you know anything about Jesus, or why would he act the way he acted if he hasn't heard something about Jesus already? Right? So he had to hear, right? And then number two, I put down, he put a demand on Jesus. He put a demand on Jesus. I got some notes in between all these, but I'm just going to give you the steps I wrote down first, and then I'll go through it. All right? And then number three, he turned out the noise. That don't make sense. Tuned, yes. I don't know why I put turned. He tuned out the noise or criticism around him. He tuned out the noise or the criticism around him. Number four, he released his faith and told Jesus what he wanted, not what he had.
Amen.
And then number five, he acted his faith.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So number one, he heard, obviously. It doesn't say that he heard, but obviously you wouldn't be jumping around excited like he was if you hadn't heard something about him.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
About verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and when it was went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, what?
Begging.
What was he? He was a beggar, but he was blind, right? Blind Bartimaeus. Yes. Son, say that three times real fast. Amen. So he was blind, right? And he was begging. Number 47, and when he heard that it was what? He began to what? And say, Jesus, have mercy on me. The Jews expected the Messiah to be from the family of the king of David. And that's why they said, son of David, saying, I believe you are the Messiah.
Amen.
Right? Yes. So he had to have heard about Jesus because he's calling him son of David.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. Son of David. And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He put a demand on Jesus. He acknowledged Jesus' position and not allowing blindness to have the highest position in his life. What position has the highest position in my life? What have I given the authority to have the highest position in my life? What is it? Each of us, I can't answer it for you. I have to answer it for myself. Is it TV? Is it video games? Is it sickness? Is it lack? Is it worry? Amen. He acknowledged Jesus' position because he said, thou son of David. He acknowledged his position. Jesus' position. Jesus, thou son of David, saying, you are the Messiah. You are my Messiah. You are the one that's come in the flesh. He acknowledged his position. He acknowledged it. What position do we acknowledge in our lives? Like I said, I can't answer it for you. We have to answer it for ourselves, right? Do we think this will ever get better? A lot of times people think, well, you know, this is just, I'm just going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. So I'm allowing that position to be the highest position in my life. Well, they said, I have to live with this for the rest of my life. The doctor said it's hereditary that I have to have this. Well, I can't buy a house because my credit is like this. And I'll never be able to live in that kind of house because of how I grew up. Well, who said? Who made that rule? The government? And so now we want to believe everything the government says? know where that came from. moving on. Amen. Son of David, have mercy on me, right? Where are we at? Right there, sorry. Are we saying that there is no way this will change And when we do that, we are giving it the highest authority in our lives. When we're saying something, well, this is just how it's going to be for the rest of my life. I gave it the highest position in my life at this point. And I said, you're allowed to stay here and tell me how to live the rest of my life. And so now you can dictate to me how I'm going to live. That's what we do when we give things like that, the authority in our life. Sickness or disease, we're telling it, okay, you have the ultimate voice now. So if I have to live with liver cancer, then I have to live with it. Instead of going to the Word saying, Jesus, thou son of David. You are the Messiah. You did go to the cross. And everything you accomplished on the cross belongs to me. And sickness and disease, you conquered it. That doesn't belong to me. It's put underneath my foot. It's put underneath yours. And so therefore it's underneath mine. And so now you have to leave my body. Well, what if I don't see it right now? Well, why are you looking? Why are you trying to look for it to see if you can see it? If once you speak the command of faith, look at it with the eyes of faith saying it's gone. Regardless if it looks like there's a bump there, it's gone because I spoke the command of faith. And once faith is released, I stand there. I don't back up and I don't start checking. I just continue forward. There was a time when I was younger, I used to have warts all over my knee. All over my knee. And so I prayed and, I won't go into all the story, but I prayed. And after I prayed, I didn't check it anymore. Do you remember that? You don't remember? But I'm not lying. You can ask my parents. My knee looked just warts everywhere. Everywhere. It was nasty. Just warts everywhere. And I was in my teens or younger. And I was like, I'm tired of having this. And prayed, and I didn't check it. And then I just woke up one morning, and I was like, where'd they go? But I didn't check it. I didn't check it to see if my prayer worked. I prayed and spoke the command of faith and stayed with it. And didn't check to see if God will do what the Word of God said He'll do. That's His job. My job's to you release my faith for it and to stand with it. Amen. And just to continually move forward. Amen. He put a demand on Jesus. He started yelling.
Yes,
he did. He started yelling. Jesus, thou son of David. He put a demand on him because it stopped him. And when he heard it was Jesus, go to the next verse, please. And many, what? Told him, shut up, it's Jesus. Just be quiet. Look, this you've lived like this your whole life. Just continue. You're fine. Stop trying to make ripples in the water. Look, this is how our whole family's lived. Just, you think you're better now? Oh, you think you're all uppity, huh? Just because I want to enjoy the benefits that belong to me? Don't criticize me for enjoying everything that God has for me. Just because I've spent time getting into the Word of God, finding out what belongs to me, don't criticize me because I'm going to shut my ears off to you and just smile. I'm sorry, and I'm not being mean, but don't. Look, when everybody else is sitting around crying, watching TV going, I wish something was different, and we're inside just studying our little hearts out, finding out, all right, God, what belongs to us? What are the promises that are for the born-again believer? And whenever we get into it and find out and we start walking it out, you can criticize, but it's okay. Just continually walk forward and just let the criticism roll off of you. Don't let the criticism draw you back into that lifestyle. So you just think you're better than us now, huh? Huh? Just getting nicer stuff? Because I'm telling you, that's what they're going to say. Oh, so you think you're too good to have to go to the doctor? Is there something wrong with a doctor? Absolutely not. I've been a lot. I've been a lot. But I also exercised my faith. Many told him, shut up. Hold your peace. But he what? Why? Why would he cry more the louder? He already acknowledged, you are the Messiah. I could care less what y'all are saying. I could care less how y'all are criticizing me. Because my answer is right here. Y'all are trying to stop me from getting my answer. But my answer is just right here. Why would I allow criticism to stop me from getting my answer? Why would any of us allow criticism stop us from getting the answer that belongs to us? Well, it's just too hard. You know, too many people talk. Who cares? If they're not talking about you, it's going to be somebody else. Thank God. Growing up, I grew up, I don't know why, I just kind of always had the attitude of, I really didn't care what you said about me. And it's really helped me throughout my life. It really has. Because once you start really caring about what people think about you, it'll make you start making different decisions now. It'll cause you to start making decisions trying to get them happy or to please somebody else and not making decisions for yourself. Now you're making decisions for somebody else in your life. And we can't allow that to happen. We can't. We have to make decisions based on the Word of God, not based on what somebody else thinks. Amen. Moving on. Hallelujah. He tuned out the noise or the criticism around him. So you think you can just own businesses then? Oh, you think you're smart enough to run a business? You ain't even got any college. What does college have to do with running a business? If you want to go to college, go to college. But what does that have to do with running a business? My mom, I believe she said it, so she don't mind me saying it. Do you mind? No. All right, so I'm going to say it. She dropped out of high school in 11th grade. And they own 6 or 7 businesses. So tell me what college has to do with owning a business. Amen. That just lets me know there's faith for me yet. Hallelujah. He didn't allow the noise or the criticism around him to affect him, right? He didn't allow what people were telling him to stop him. He didn't allow what people were telling him to stop him. He wasn't. Have we done some things in our life that somebody said something and so we stopped because of the criticism from them? We should regroup. Regroup. And then continue forward again. And don't worry about what people say. Because they're going to talk about you regardless. And who cares? They're just being part of their father, the devil. Because the love of God doesn't talk about anybody. And if you don't know that, you need to go read 1 Corinthians 13 and the Amplified. Amen. Amen. The love of God doesn't talk about people. It thinks the best of what? Everyone. So if I'm thinking the best of everyone, is there any way I got anything negative to say about them? Amen. Sometimes people would say, well, you're too sick to do that. Well, you can't afford that. Well, you don't qualify for this job. You're not smart enough. Why allow any of that to dictate to you what you're going for? Why? Why? Amen. That's why I love Chelsea. If there's something that she wants to go after, you could talk till you're blue in the face. You could try to convince her that she couldn't do it. That'll make her, give her more just fire. And then she'll prove you wrong. She won't rub it in your face, but she'll prove you wrong and then wave at you from where she's at. But it's that kind of attitude, not allowing criticism. Criticism to stop you from anything that God's promised you. Anything. Well, are you sure you're smart enough? What does that have to do with anything? Because if I got the mind of Christ, the Holy Ghost on the inside of me will lead me in every kind of decision as long as I'm asking Him. As long as I'm relying on Him, He'll help me make every right decision in my business or in my life. That way I'm not ever stepping back going, oh, why'd I do that? But no, I just continue forward. Yes, Lord. Amen. That was number three. Sorry, that was number three. He tuned out the noise or the criticism around Him. I hope y'all got that.
Yes.
All right. Number four, he released his faith and told Jesus what he wanted, not what he had. Many charged him, go back to 48, please. And many charged him that he should hold his what?
Peace.
But he what? The more a great deal. Thou son of David, what? Have mercy on me. Next, please. And Jesus stood what? Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, what? Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Amen. Next, please. And he, casting away his garment, rose, and what? Came to Jesus next. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, I'm blind. I've been blind my whole life. This is just kind of my the lot in life I've been dealt, you know. This is just kind of how my family is. You know, I've been blind since I was a kid, you know, and I'm just trying to see, you know, can I get healed? You know, I'm trying to come over here, see if it'll happen or not, to see if I'll get a healing or not. The blind man said unto him, what? Lord, let's read it together. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Amen. He released his faith and told Jesus what he wanted. Lord, what? That I might receive my sight. Right? He told Jesus what he wanted, not what he had. Sometimes, some people will go through what all's wrong with them like it's a badge of honor. I've talked to some older guys before, and sometimes, like this one guy was telling me, you know, I got this wrong with me. I can't feel nothing from here up. Like it's a badge of honor. Like I'm so strong, I can handle this. Look at me and look at this load I'm carrying. like it's a badge of honor. You know, I've been sick, you know, for at least 15 years, but I'm just still going. Like it's a badge of honor. Like you're saying, look at me and look what I'm able to do. When Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? His reply is a simple simple request voiced with the confidence that Jesus can deliver. When Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? His reply is a simple request voiced with the confidence. Voiced with the confidence. Voiced with the confidence. Keyword, confidence. Confidence. Because you can't be confident about something and pretty much tell everybody to shut up. I'm hollering at Jesus. Y'all are telling me to be quiet and I'm paying you no mind at all. Matter of fact, he's probably yelling, and you know sometimes, like, y'all see me when I get excited, I spit. I think everybody does a little bit, so good luck on the front row. I wonder if he's spitting in these people's faces, not on purpose, but just yelling. I also... Well, let me finish this. When Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? His reply is a simple request voiced with the confidence that Jesus can deliver. That I would see again declares that Jesus can bring the wholeness and deliverance that people seek. Amen. The confidence, though. The confidence, right? And then I wrote down here a few things. I wonder how he said it, blind Bartimaeus. You know, oh, Jesus. Whenever Jesus said, hey, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, Jesus. I did write this down. I wrote down, what's a nice way to say it? Yeah. Amen. You say that until I say it, then you're like, No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Heartstrings, that's an easy way to say it. We're used to talking to people. And so if I can get a sad enough story and tell you a little bit of a pity party, I'm going to tug on your heartstrings to get you to help me. Have you ever noticed that? Because ask somebody that might be having a hard time or something, hey, how are you doing? And see the kind of story they tell you. Moving over here. I wonder if we think God is moved like we are. We think God is moved like we are. That's why some people will try to go to God with a sob story, thinking that the sob story will pull on his heartstrings like it does with people, because that's how we can get people to help us. But what does God move by?
Faith.
And a sob story is not faith. That's unbelief. That's worry, because worry is in that. Right? Sob story, that's saying I'm defeated. I'm defeated. And is there something you can do? And so we're used to that kind of lifestyle. Because that's how we've always noticed people operating throughout our entire life. And so we try to bring that over here and go to God that way. And God does not answer sob stories. You can't pull on his heartstrings like that. Does he love you? Absolutely. Why would he send Jesus to the cross if he didn't love us? And so you go to God with faith and he's like, I'm on it. What do you need? But you go to God, God, I don't know if you know. Because is that how blind Bartimaeus did it? Well, I shouldn't say blind Bartimaeus because he ain't blind no more. Is that how he did it? Whenever Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Did he go to him with a sob story trying to pull on his heartstrings? But yet we think that's how God will answer my prayer. If I can just get one of them heartstrings enough, if I can cry enough and whine enough and tell him, you know, everything that's going wrong in my life, maybe I can get him to move with some compassion. Compassion was moved whenever Jesus was on the cross, whenever he was getting beat. Compassion was then. Y'all all right? Yes. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, this is good. Yes. Amen. And it's only getting better. Yes. Amen. I wonder if whenever he asked Bartimaeus that, I wonder if he'd answered like, oh, Jesus, please help me. I'm blind. Like Jesus doesn't know that you're blind. Like Jesus doesn't know that you have a bill due tomorrow. Like Jesus doesn't know that you need tires or an oil change or the rent or the electric or clothes for kids or new shoes or another job or a better job. But if I go to him going, oh God, oh Jesus, just everything's piling up. I don't know what to do. But if I go to him, all right, God, I thank you according to the word. Thank you according to the word. Yes. Now I have something to stand on. But if I go up to him whining and crying, all I'm going to hear is my own voice. And I won't receive an answer. And then I might go away and say, see, that faith doesn't work. But it does, but I went with whining and unbelief. And God doesn't respond to whining and unbelief. He responds to faith. To faith. To faith. The voice of faith will take the victim and whining out of your voice. Whenever he asked Bartimaeus what he wanted, what did he say? What did he say? Amen. Anybody else want to read it? Lord, that what? Is there a victim mentality there? Because if anybody had a right to have the victim mentality, it had been him. Because he didn't do nothing wrong for the blindness. He was born, and then after he was born, he became blind. Well, God, you know, I didn't do nothing, but here, you know, now I'm blind. Well, Satan's come to what? And once I understand that, I know God didn't do it. Yes. And I understand Satan's trying to defeat me. Yes. And so then I just go to God in faith and not with a victim mentality. Yes. Well, God, you know, this is just how I was born, you know. And so now this kind of my lot in life. I got to live like this because that's what my parents told me. That's what their parents told them. And that's what the world's saying. Well, who cares what they've been saying? You know, it's funny. A lot of times we don't care what the world says until it comes to some things. Amen. And it's funny, we only say, amen, well, yep, all right, amen. Now we're gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God forevermore. A lot of times we don't care what the world says, and we won't pay them no mind. But then when it says something about us, and it gives us a chance to not have to operate in faith or get into the word, it kind of gives us a cop out. Yeah. Then we'll be like, see, this is just my lot in life. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, hallelujah. If you'll smile, it'll be a lot better. Hey, man, y'all are smiling. I'm just messing with you. What's that? Yes. Number five, we'll go through this one real fast. He acted as faith, obviously, right? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Next, please. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith is what?
Faithful.
And immediately he received his sight, and what?
Follow Jesus in your way.
Pull up the ERV, please. Jesus said, you are healed because you what?
Believed.
Immediately the man was able to see again. He followed Jesus down the road. Amen. It was actually verse 50. And he casting away his garment rose. I went backwards, sorry. Verse 50, casting away his garment. He threw off his cloak. But he threw off his cloak before he got there as well. But he acted as faith. I just put them in the wrong order, sorry. He acted as faith, right? But so he threw off his cloak before he even got there. Why? What is he saying? Whenever I go up to the front, if I'm believing God for prayer, do I go up there with an attitude of, I hope I receive my healing? I hope I receive what I'm going for? Because he threw off his cloak. Number one, he stood up quickly. He left his coat there and went to Jesus. He left his coat there. A lot of times we try to drag all of our problems up with us, and then we try to drag them back with us to our seat. The thing is, either I want a victorious life or I don't. I've had to tell myself that so many times. Either I'm tired of being defeated or I'm not. It's my choice. Either I can get into the Word and find out what belongs to me or not. I can whine and I can complain, and me and Chelsea can talk about it, and I can talk about it till I'm blue in the face. But until I get into the Word and find out what belongs to me, that's all we're going to have is a sincere conversation about what we think we should do and about how we're tired of living our life like this. But until I get into the Word and find the cure to the problem that's going on, then I'm just going to continually be in that same vein. He threw it off because it was hindering. Let me read this first. He threw off his cloak, showing how much he trusted Jesus to healing. He threw it off, trusting Jesus, knowing that this is the last time I'll ever have to beg a day in my life. I'm receiving my healing right now. And how many times have we gone either to God in prayer for something or got hands laid on us for something with that kind of attitude? This is the last time I'll deal with whatever I'm getting prayed for. This is the last time that I'll have to even talk about whatever me and you are about to agree on. Do I go to God with an attitude like that? Or do I go to God with an attitude of, well, let's just shoot our shot and hopefully it sticks? He threw off his coat because it was hindering him from reaching his full potential that God had for him. Amen. See, the Satan does not want any of the born-again believers to reach the full potential God has for them. Because how many more people will be saved if we do? How many more people will be reached once we're just full stride in our full potential of what God's asked us to do? How many more lives will be changed? That's the thing. How many more lives? Or am I allowing this cloak of sickness, this cloak of lack, this cloak of anger, this cloak of whatever? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you should say amen to that. Real fast, let me read this. Whenever you feed on the word, it becomes a shield. Yes. Amen. Then, if something comes up, like you got overdue bills, or the doctor comes in and brings a terrible report, or something else happens or whatever, those words that are told you will not be able to penetrate your heart because the word is there already as a shield. But if there's no shield, then that's how the words get in and start penetrating your heart. Right? And to penetrate, I actually looked it up. It's very interesting to me. It said to enter or pierce. Penetrate does. It also means to make a way, to affect the mind, to cause to feel. This one, it says to gain entrance to. To gain entrance to. And that's what Satan wants. Entrance. Entrance into. Because if he can get you thinking that, well, this is, you have to live like this for the rest of your life. If he can get entrance into you, getting you thinking like that, pierce you with that, and then get you meditating that, well, I guess I just have to live like this. You know, this is what my mom and dad had, and this is what they had. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were just not grown up in the word like me. Amen. Because, number one, and I ain't even that grown up yet. I still am young. Amen. But he was saying, well, you know, my parents had this, and they had this, and their parents had this, and so I guess I have it. Went to the doctor, and he had the same thing. He said, yeah, it's just hereditary. Well, once I'm saved, I'm born into a new bloodline, number one. And I'm not a part of the curse. The curse does not have anything to do in my life at all, and I don't allow it to. Amen. I think we're going to stop with that. Yeah, we are. Amen. We will. Amen. Y'all got a few minutes? All right. Go over to 1 Peter then. 1:8, real fast, sorry. It says, have you not seen Christ, but still you love him? You can't see him now, but what? You can't see him, but you what?
Believe.
You are filled with a wonderful and heavenly joy that cannot what?
Be explained.
Message says, yet you trust him with laughter and singing because you kept on believing you'll get what you're looking forward to.
Amen.
Amen. Right? The GWT says, although you have never seen Christ, you love him. You don't see him now, but you believe in him. You are extremely happy with joy and praise that can hardly be expressed in words. Amen. Amen. How many of us rejoice whenever we got saved? Amen. Right? The reason is because we knew we were no longer headed to hell, right? And so we rejoice whenever we got saved, right? But how do you know you got saved when you ain't even seen heaven yet? But yet we rejoiced, right? Didn't we rejoice when we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? Why'd we rejoice? And we didn't see heaven, though. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. But yet you'll rejoice over salvation and you ain't seen heaven. Is it not the same difference then? Is it not the same difference? So do I rejoice like this every time I pray? Do I rejoice every time I pray? Or do I go away with a, well, I hope it works. Because blind Bartimaeus knew exactly what he was about to receive. That's why nobody could shut him up. And that's why he threw off his garment and took off towards Jesus because of the excitement. He said, this is the last time I'll ever have to beg. See, do I go to God like that? This is the last time that sickness will ever have to mess with my body. See, do I go to God with that kind of excitement? Do I go to God? Do I, amen, and then just start praising him. Thank God, I'm not sick any longer. And then you cough. I don't care. Thank God, I'm healed and whole from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Thank you, God, for my kid's salvation. Thank you, God, all my bills are paid. Do I leave with that kind of an attitude? Or do I leave with an attitude of, because when I leave with an attitude of praise, I know it's done. When I leave with an attitude of, I didn't believe it in the first place, and I didn't even release any faith. That's the difference. And Bartimaeus knew it. That's why he threw off his garment. Because somebody not really knowing that they were about to be healed would not have thrown off their garment. Yeah. They'd have said, hey, one of y'all come help me get up. Yeah. Nothing was wrong with his feet, but yet needs help getting up. Amen. And then he'd have said, hey, somebody, y'all mind, you know, getting me over there to Jesus? I guess he's calling for me. He stood up on his own. He threw the cloak off on his own. And I haven't seen where it said somebody led him to Jesus. Amen. Because he knew this is the last time. This is my answer, and I've received it right now. Before I see the manifestation of it, he was already rejoicing over his answer. Before he saw the manifestation, before he was able to see, he was rejoicing that he was no longer blind. Because it says he stood up quickly, threw off his cloak, and burned out to Jesus. And so he didn't rejoice once he got to Jesus. He's sitting there hollering, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. Fool, don't you know it's God, Jesus, walking? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And so he stopped. He said, what do you need? He said, well, tell him to come here. What did the blind guy do? He jumped up, threw it off, burnt out. Why? Because he knew he had his answer. He's rejoicing over his answer before he was even able to see. How many times have we rejoiced over our answer before we saw the manifestation of it? Too many times we only rejoice after we see the manifestation. And that's not faith. That's moving by our sight. Anybody can do that. But it takes somebody operating in faith, being able to rejoice before they see their answer, because they know the hand of faith reached out, grabbed a hold of that answer, and brought it into the reality. Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to do that right now. We're going to do that right now. Hallelujah. First off, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, make your way down. We're not going to close our eyes. We're not going to, you know, do all that. You can make your way down. You can take off that cloak and say, this will be the last day that I live like that. If that is you, make your way down. But glory to God, I thank you, Lord, that right now in this congregation, we as a people say that I have it now. We say, Jesus, Son of David. Let's say that together. Jesus, Son of David. Let's say, Jesus, Son of David. One more time, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, by faith right now, we take off the old. We take off that cloak. We take off that identity. Glory to God. And we leave it behind this morning. And, Lord, now, by faith right now, thank you, Jesus, that we put our faith out, that we are not going to be beggars, that we're not going to be whiners, that we're not going to tell you a sad story. Hallelujah. But we come to your throne room now boldly in the name of Jesus. And we ask. Ask for those things that we have need of in our life. Glory to God. And know what? The last thing is we rejoice. So let's rejoice. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we have those things, that we can go to your throne room boldly, that we can apply the blood of Jesus, Lord, because of what you did on the cross for us, hallelujah, that you rose from that grave, glory to God, victorious, glory to God, hallelujah, 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 glory to God, amen, amen, we have it now. Look to someone and say, I have it now. I have it now. We are going out of this place changed so we can change a lost and dying world that needs to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray and we can dismiss. Thank you, Lord, for your word that was gone out that has made change in our life. We have it now and we take it by faith. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Go out. Bless somebody. You are.